Father, we receive your promised blessing over your people, God. And this morning, as we look into your words, O God, concerning your blessing, may your words speak powerfully into our hearts to secure our heart in the faith that we have in you, in the hope that is in you, and in the love that is shed into our hearts, that we may demonstrate that love to one another. Thank you for your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Could you imagine just three verses from an Old Testament in the book of Numbers? Now, children, you can go to children's church. The Lord bless you, children. Just three verses from the Old Testament. You know, it's called the Aaron blessing. This Kerry Kobe from US and the team took these three verses and formed this song. And this song is sang as a comfort to millions of people that is going through this COVID-19. In fact, it sparked such a global movement that, you know, people of cross-denomination, you know, were able to come together and worship and declare the blessing of God on the nation. We as the nation of Australia, we do need the blessing of God. There are too much things happening in our world. Too much things that are happening not to the best of our life, of our family. We need God's blessing upon this nation. So many countries after that come out with their own version of the blessing. You have it in Japanese, you have it in Chinese, you have it in Korean, you have it in different language. And Australia has its own version. And according to my dear wife, Australia is the best version. I don't know whether she's biased, you know. And it was great to see the Australian version in which you have 300 churches of different denomination, you know, the Catholic, the Pentecostal, you know, and even the Australian indigenous churches, how they come together, how they came together and sang the blessing. It amazed me. Suffering and pain tends to unite the church more than what? Prosperity and success. Thank God what the church can do to touch the nation, to touch the million with our faith, our hope, and our love with the blessing of God. So this morning, I want to speak from this verse, the blessing. And I was looking through, you know, when did I preach this verse? The last time I preached this verse was in 8th of November 1992. That's a long time. Age has caught up with all of us, not just me. You know, it was a long time. And it's good to revisit this verse, these verses again, and hear the riches of God's covenant of blessing. God's blessing is His covenant towards us. God's covenant of blessing over His people. Now, this, let's look at number chapter 6, and let me read. Number chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Now this blessing was given to Israel after 1 year they have been camping at Mount Sinai. This is the place where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And now they are about to pack Now they are to prepare and to begin their new journey. The journey to the new, the journey to the promised land. May I assure you, as we come to embrace the new for Grace City Church, I pray that this blessing is also upon us. The journey that they are going to make for the children of Israel, they are going to meet challenges, difficulty, and the unknown and the weariness before them. But God assured them of His blessing. His blessing pronounced upon them over the nation by the priest. And it's not pronounced every now and then. It was to be pronounced upon them every day as they journey to the promised land. The blessing is pronounced over God's people, over the congregation. But it is to be received what? It is to be received personally. Now, when the Bible said the Lord will bless you and keep you, His face will shine upon you, He's not talking about you here or you there or you there. No, six times when the word you is used, it's talking about one person. Singular means you. So it's all about God blessing you, God keeping you, God being gracious to you, God shine upon you, God peace upon you. It's all about you. Say amen. Now, even though it was pronounced over the whole nation, but you as an individual must receive it for who? For yourself and your household. This passage, these verses, is also known as the blessing for the journey. They are about to start a new journey, and God said, this is what you said to them. This is also the blessing for the journey. Now, I want you to know, the journey of life that you have with Him, and He promised in your journey, He's going to bless you from the beginning and the end of the journey. Say amen. That means He's going to bless you every day and every year. He's going to bless you throughout the whole journey. Now, when this blessing was spoken by the priest pronounced it, but it came from who? It came from God. God told Moses, this is how you should. This is the way. That means it was not the priest that bring forth. It was not the priest that perform it. It was not the priest that bring it to pass. It originated from who? From God. And God will be the one to bring it to pass. God will be the one that perform it. Say amen. That's why the blessing ends with this word in verse 27. And I myself will bless them. God said, I'm going to do it. But all I need is for the priest to be a mouthpiece to pronounce it, to speak it, and my people individually to take yes is for me, amen is for me. And God said, I will perform it. I will bless you. I will bring it to pass. The whole three verses on the blessing point to who? Point to God. Three times. The Lord is mentioned in these three verses. Now, blessing should not point us to the things that we are blessed. Say amen to that. Because we all get caught with the blessing. With the things we are blessed, we get caught with it, we get locked to it, it becomes God. No, blessing should not point to the things we are blessed. Blessing must point us to who? To God. So all this verse, three times the Lord is used because He wants to point us to Him, because He is our Heavenly Father. He's the one who blesses us with all things. Say all things to enjoy. So when you look at these three verses, these three promises is God's blessing for who? For you. The first promise is kept, blessed, and kept. What did he say? You are blessed. The Lord bless you. Say amen to that. The Lord bless you. What must you say? Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Yes, so be it. That is where verse 24a says, the Lord bless you. God's intention and desire is to bless, never to curse. We have a blessing God, not a cursing God. When God created man in his image and in his likeness, he blessed them and he said this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that move on the ground. So if you look at this verse alone, when God created man, he blessed them and he said this blessing over them. So what is the blessing of God over you? The blessing of God is be what? Be fruitful. Fruitfulness is part of the blessing of God in your life. All of us should be fruitful. Say amen. I pray that when we grow old, when our hair is gray, we are still the fruitful vine. Amen? To become that fruitful vine, you need to where? Stay close to the what? To the river, to the source of blessing. So blessing means being fruitful. And what does it mean? It means to increase, multiply, and have what? And have plenty. God is a God of increase. He wants to bring increase in your life. Say amen. Not just increase in material things. The first increase that you would want to have in your life is this. He increase and I what? Decrease. It also means to fill. Fullness. That God said, I bless you means I fill you so that there is fullness and not only just be full, but it will overflow to others. I'm blessed to bless others, overflow to others. And when I'm full and overflowing, it means that my life has no lack. Say amen. My life has no lack. And he said, blessing means to subdue, to conquer. No, I am blessed of God, and there's one thing I need to conquer. It's not my wife. It's to conquer myself. To conquer myself. You know, sometimes we want to subdue this, subdue that. But actual fact, the only thing we need to subdue is to subdue what is inside here. To conquer. And then he say, blessing in this verse is to rule. To rule means to prevail against. When God bless you, you are able to prevail against every work of the enemy. Because he has overcome Satan and his foe. He has displayed them and showed to us that they are powerless when we are in Christ. The Lord bless you. It's a public declaration of God's favor is upon you. It's a sign, when you say the Lord bless you, it's a sign of his enduring power. His power has been given to me so that I have power to be successful, so that I have power for prosperity. When you say the Lord bless you, that means God's power is upon you. And if God's power is upon you, that means this, I declare to you, you are ordained and empowered to be the head and not the tail. To be on top and not beneath. This is what it means when the Bible says, the blessing of God is upon you. So when I say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. What are you supposed to say? You're very slow. What does it mean? The word bless in Hebrew means to give a gift to another. To give a gift to another. And how do you give that gift? In Hebrew means when you give that gift. Some people say, hey, this gift is for you. No, not throw to you. To give a gift to you in Hebrew, the word bless means the king comes to you.
He gives the gift and he bent down his knee to give you the gift.
Think about this. When we are living in sin, the Bible says we are in the mouth, we are in the lowest. But God chose to bless us. What does he do? He reached down and bent down and stood down and blessed you. So that's what it means when God says, I bless you, means that God, the Almighty, the Creator, lower himself, humble himself to bring a gift to you. And what gift does he bring? The gift of blessing, of eternal life. A job. How many of you realize the job is a blessing of God? I mean, as we go through this COVID-19, I mean, thank God that we are blessed people. I don't hear much about people losing their job. It's a blessing of God, you know. And a home is a blessing. And let me tell you, children is a blessing. Say amen to that. I know at a certain age, you just want to put your two arms around their neck. But they are still a blessing of God. Say amen to that. So when the Bible says God bless you, it means that God is going to give you favor, he's going to give you goodness, he's going to give you benefit, and he's going to give you gift. And God lower himself, he humble himself to bless you. Now how do we see that? We see the blessing in Jesus Christ when he came into the world. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 14. Christ redeemed us when Jesus was near to the cross. He became a curse. And now, because of that, the air is clear. And we can see that Abraham blessing, the blessing promised to Abraham, is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his spirit, in which we with us by believing just the way Abraham received it. So God said, I want to bless you. We need to believe and receive like Abraham. How did he receive it? By faith. Now, when the priest put up his hand over the nation of Israel and said, the Lord bless you, the pronunciation of the blessing would bring the Israelite to picture in their mind the promised blessing given to who? Given to Abraham, their father, Abraham. You know, and the blessing to Abraham found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to verse 3. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. So what does the blessing to Abraham mean? Means God's blessing is this. God's blessing is first what? In you. I will make you. Make you from where? Not from outside. Make you from where? From inside. So the blessing of God is in you. I will bless you and make you. Then he said this to Abraham. And you will be a blessing to who? To others. And then he said that all the family of the earth will be blessed through you. So blessing of God is first in you. Say amen. That God wants to bless you from inside here. From inside where? Inside out. So blessing is in you. And blessing is what? Through you. Now. Then the word of blessing to Abraham was this. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. We sang the song, The Blessing, and we said the Lord is what? For you. So blessing of God is in you, through you, and for you. That means God said that when I bless you, I'm also able to keep you. Say amen. That's where we come to. The second part of this promise, you are kept and keep you. Keep means God surround you. God built a hedge of protection around you. Now this is the picture of the shepherd. The shepherd bring the sheep into the fold. And the shepherd built a hedge of protection over the sheep. When the shepherd built a hedge of protection over the sheep, what does he put on top of the fence? He put thorns on top of the fence. Now, the shepherd do this not to keep the sheep in. Because the sheep comes in and out through what? Through the gate. And who is the gate? Jesus Christ the gate. So why does the shepherd put thorns on top of the fence? The thorns on top of the fence is to keep who's out? Keep the thief out. The Bible tells in John chapter 10 that we have a thief that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief cannot come to the gate because Jesus is the gate. So the thief will come through where? The fence. And that thorns there is to stop the thief from coming through. So the Bible says that God will keep you. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, the book of Psalm 121 is the one that talk about a lot about God's keeping power. 6 times in 8 verses in Psalm 121, you know, it talk about how God will keep you. And how God will keep you covers a range of protection over your life in your journey. How does He protect you? He protect you from harm, protect you from evil, protect you from danger, protect you from going out and coming, protect you 24/7 from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Simply, He protect you with what? With His eyes. His eyes. And we know one thing, God does not slack. Neither does He slumber or sleep. So when the priest put up his hand, I said, Moses, you tell Aaron and his son, this is how you are to bless the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. Would you think about Moses standing here, hearing the word, the Lord keep you. Freshing up into Moses' mind, the author of this number, he would understand the keeping power of God. God kept Moses from Pharaoh's sword. You remember he was born? God kept Moses in the basket. The basket, the water did not come in. God kept Pharaoh in the river Nile. He did not drown. He did not sink. And God, not only that, God orchestrated and brought Pharaoh's sister to the river to pick him up. And God kept Moses where? In the palace. God kept him in the mountain. God kept him in the wilderness. God kept him in his journey. So when Moses heard the word, the Lord keeps you, freshing upon his mind, he understands the keeping power of God. And I want you to know who keeps you, who sustains you, who preserves you, said the Lord. Who keeps you from COVID-19? Who keeps your job? Don't tell yourself, oh, I have this job. I'm able to keep that because how good I am. No. Who keeps you from harm and evil? Who keeps you from danger ahead? You cannot keep yourself. Only God can. You do not know what is ahead of you. Only God knows. And He knows from the beginning to the end. Therefore, He can keep you. And He has the ability to keep you. Jude, verse 24 and 25. This is what. And now to Him who can keep you on your feet. Say amen. I am not on the floor. I'm aware. I'm on my feet. I'm standing. And not only am I standing, I'm standing tall. To Him who is able to keep you on your feet and standing tall in His bright presence. That's why. When you understand the keeping power of God, there is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. You stand fresh. I know Henry will prefer refresh, but it's fresh. Fresh and celebrating. That's the keeping power of God. And the Bible said that when you understand the keeping power of God, verse 25, it's because there's only one God, one Savior, you know, and one Master. And when you know that's who He is, then out of here come forth the praise of glory, majesty, and strength to Him. God, You are so wonderful that You are able to keep me. He placed you in His hand. and no one. No one. Say it with me, no one. No one can pluck you from his hand. You are kept safe and secure in the Lord's hand. So you are in his hand. Sleep well, eat well, and enjoy the power of his hand, the presence of his hand, the providence of his hand for your journey. The first promise, blessed and kept. The second promise in your journey is illuminated and grace. You are illuminated. The Lord makes his face shine upon me. Moses knew what it was to have God's face shining on him. Exodus 34, he went to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. God spoke to him and shone his glory on him. And in fact, through the encounter with God, Moses' face shone. Personally, he met the Lord. And as an experience, he has met the Lord. I want you to know that we need to know Jesus Christ personally, and we need to experience him personally, not just an idea, not just hearing from another person, but experience him personally. And how do I experience him? He has blessed me. He has kept me. So Moses knew, what is it to have God's face shining upon him? And then he was able to come down from the mountain, and everywhere he go, they saw the face of God shining out of his face. When you leave church this Sunday and go to work or go to school, may your face shine for him. This is what the Bible says. The light that shine into darkness in creation has shined into us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is called the light of the gospel. It has shined into our heart. This is how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. He said, it starts when God said, light up the darkness, and our life filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our bright, all bright and beautiful. If you look at us, you might miss the brightness. We carry this precious message along in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary life. That is to prevent anyone from confusing God in comparable power with us. Now, this is what he says. We carry this treasure. What is this treasure? What is this message? The glory of God, the person of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We carry it. Where do we carry it? We carry it in this body, this temple of ours, this instrument of ours. Here is where Christ dwells. Here is where everything of God is in here. Now, if we carry him inside this earthen vessel, then shine. Let him shine who? Let him shine through you. Long time ago, we sang this song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. How do you shine? Shine with good works. How do you shine? Shine God kinds of life. In school, shine Jesus Christ. At the workplace, shine Jesus shine. Wherever you go, whoever you deal with, whatever you say or do, shine Jesus shine. As Christ has shined into you, now let him shine what? Out through you. In the New Living Translation, the word let God's face shine upon you. The Living Translation put it this way, God smile at you. That when you see God, see him smiling at you. Now, not angry, not laugh, not frown at you, but he smiled at you. So when someone smiles at you, what does it mean? It means acceptance, approval, and affirmation. This is what the Bible says. God smiles at you. He gives you approval, he gives you acceptance, he gives you affirmation. Because this is the same thing that the Father shined upon his Son when he was in the River Jordan being baptized. God shined on him and said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." And we need to realize this thing. We need to realize that God smiles at us and he is proud and pleased with us. You are his children. He doesn't come and hit your head. He doesn't come and say, "You are useless. You're no good. You end up with nothing in your life." God doesn't do that. I know sometimes parents should not do that, but sometimes they do. But that's not God. God will look at you. Even in your sin, he loves you and say, "What can I do to save you?" Even when you fall, he look at you and love you and say, "I need to pick you up and help you to continue your journey." So God loves you and he's proud of you, and you need to know he's pleased with you. And this because when God smiles at you, he's saying, just like a father, a mother, smiling at the children, because the children bring what? Bring pleasure, delight, and joy. God has the same attitude in your heart, in his heart. He really wants to enjoy you. Say amen. He wants to enjoy you. He wants to look at you and say, "Wow, Henry. Wow, Jethro. Wow." No, he doesn't say that. "Wow, Christian." I mean, that's what God wants to do. But many of us, we hear a different voice. What voice we hear? When you hear the voice of the enemy will always say, "You're not good enough." The voice of the enemy will always make you feel small and think that God is so hard that you feel so condemned. But we need to hear the voice of God who say, "I want to smile at you and I'm smiling at you," because he wants to enjoy you and he wants to have a relationship with you, not based on fear, but on joy. He illuminates you. Then you are grace. And be gracious to you. We all need grace. Everyone needs grace. Grace is God's favor, his mercy, his benefit, steadfast covenant love over us. We all need grace. You know, and the Bible said that when he say, when he graces you, he gives you his strength, you know, and he empowers you to live your life. God is very rich in grace. He gives it freely. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid in full, pay it all, pay once and for all, and you can have the grace of God free of charge. No cost to you, no effort or work of yours. You can buy it or sell it. You just simply have to what? Receive grace freely. And as you receive grace freely, you give freely. Now, the Lord be gracious to you. In Hebrew, the word gracious is to bend and stoop. This is a picture of the king. The king stooping down in kindness and mercy and tenderness. And when the king stooped down, he stooped down to who? Not someone who is deserving. Someone who is undeserving. Someone who is inferior. By all his tender mercy, he stooped down and grace you and pour his grace upon you. The one who is the greatest grace himself to wash the disciple's feet. With his power, he could crush you, but he chose to be what?
gracious to you. Why does God grace you?
God grace you so that you can become an RPM. You know why it's an RPM? Not the speed. How much RPM is this word?
The reason why God grace you so that you can become a recipient of grace. We all receive grace. Say amen. Freely we receive. Freely we are. We give. So God grace you, and he stood now and poured his grace so that you can firstly receive grace, recipient. And then when grace is received inside here, the next thing you must become a what? A product of grace. Grace must what? Work inside here. Align here, change here, soften here, remove the bitterness, remove the anguish, remove the angry. Grace must somehow change inside here. And then when it's changed inside here, you can become a what? A eye is missing. A minister of grace.
I like the word of Paul. In a world that demands achievement, performance, and success to be recognized and rewarded, yet God graciously pours his abundant grace freely on you. You don't deserve anything, but God gives you everything. I like what Paul said. With this grace upon me, I'm a recipient, I'm a product, I'm a minister. What did he say? In 1 Corinthians 15:10. But whatever I am now.
Say the word, I am now.
It doesn't matter what is in the past. Paul knows his past. But he said, because of God's grace, what I am now, now is important. What you have become in Jesus Christ through the power of his grace. Gracing on you.
He said this.
But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor, his grace on me, and not without result. I am what I am by the grace of God. Say amen to that. And that's a very powerful word. I am what I am by the grace of God. We come to the third promise. Lifted and given. You are lifted, not pushed down or pulled down. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. When the Bible says that the countenance is lifted, it means that the person is what? Smiling. Person is smiling. The Lord lift your countenance. Simply means he wants you to what? Smile. Come on, turn around and smile at someone, please. He wants you to smile and smile and smile. And the question you have to ask yourself, am I smiling on my life journey? Am I smiling in this journey? Some people are not smiling in this journey. All the thing they can do is complain and grumble and see how hard is the journey. But I'm telling you, your smile. And sometimes you need to go and look at the mirror and smile at yourself. Your smile can change the tempo and the atmosphere of your journey. So, the Lord lift up your face means God wants you to what? Smile. Smile. Be a watermelon. Round watermelon. He wants you to smile. Do not be like Cain. His countenance fell. He did not smile. He was very angry. He sulked. He put on a long face when his gift was not accepted by God. Your face tells people where you have been. And tell people what is going on in where? In your inner world. People see your face, they can tell. Friendly, not friendly. Welcome, not welcome. Depressed or not depressed. Happy or not happy. Struggling or not struggling. Your face tells everything. That's why when you look at people, you don't look at the ground, you look at their face. It tells everything, you know. And don't live your life with a fallen countenance, because the Bible says, God, lift up your face. Don't live with a fallen countenance, a downcast countenance, an unhappy countenance, a sucking countenance, looking at the ground in discouragement, defeat, and distress when the whole world is passing by you. I want you to know, whether you are happy or not, the world is passing by. Don't miss it. God smiles at you, and He wants you to smile. Come on, turn around and smile again. Now, medically, it says this. When you smile, it boosts your immunity system. How many of you want to have good immunity system against COVID-19? Then you need to smile more. Amen? You just need to smile more, because it increases your immune system. In fact, it relaxes you and relieves you of your stress. You know, God has lifted you out of sin, leave you out of the mark, leave you from death to sit with Him in the heavenly places. So He wants you to smile, and smile often. And friend, let me tell you, give your face a rest. Smile. Because when you are not happy, the face is down, it's much heavier. Smile and lift it up, lighter. Give your face a rest. And smile. Often with the smile of God, because God is smiling at you. Now, last thing in this promise is, you are given. Given what? Given peace. Peace is a commodity that the world is looking, searching, and working for. But Christ, the Prince of this world, the Prince of Peace, said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrow, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. God said, I give you peace, shalom, total wellness. It includes completeness, unity, prosperity, health, security, wholeness, children, and a host of good things. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 14, this is the way how God said, I will bless you. Shalom. Say with me the word shalom. It literally means, also means lack of war. W-A-R, lack of war. Now, if you want to have peace yourself, there's one thing you have to be very careful. You have to stop the war that is where? Not outside. The war that is where? Within you. The personal conflict that you have, the double-minded create no peace. The you versus the you. You know, sometimes not you versus other, it's you versus yourself. You compete against yourself. You are angry with yourself. You hate yourself. You can't love yourself. The you versus the you. Fighting with others, with the past. All this stops your peace. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 is the key to God's pronounced peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that word mind means the thoughts, is stay, is fixed, is focused on you, because he trusts in you. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, lives in your heart. But if your mind wander and you dwell and entertain and things on things that are negative, that are wrong, no peace is possible. Remember, trouble mind means trouble what? Trouble heart. And it means what? Trouble life. A troubled soul. So the key to the peace of God is to fix your mind and your thought on Him and trusting Him. He gives you peace. So stay where? Stay in Him. So when the priest said all these promises of God's blessing. He concluded in verse 27. He said that, and I will put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. What does it mean to when the priest says God will put his name on the children on us? It means this, that we realize that all that we experience, his blessing, his keeping power, his grace, his peace, his smile, all this comes from who? Comes from him. Comes from him. And then when we realize that God has put his name on us and we are walking with his name, displaying what he has done for us, we are letting the world see and believe that the blessing of God is over whom? Over us. He wants you to realize that all the blessing, all the promise is coming to you by his grace. By his grace, he has kept you, blessed you, done everything to you. You know, and that no good gift is possible without him. Now, are you blessed with the blessing? The blessing of God has condition. Whether you are New Testament or Old Testament, there is still condition. What is the blessing of God? For you personally is this word called what? Obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to verse 2. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments, you will experience all this blessing if you obey the Lord your God. So blessing is tied to what? Obedience. Say amen. If you tie blessing with any other thing, you tie blessing with work, with performance, you know, you tie it with any other thing, you will end up with what? Confusion. Don't be a confused person. Blessing is tied with what? Obedience. Blessing on you is tied to obedience. Blessing on we. What is the blessing on we? As a church, it's tied to what? Unity. Psalm 133, how wonderful and how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. Yes, that is where God commands his blessing. Amen? Now, the blessing, this blessing is also called the priestly blessing. Now, when you call it the priestly blessing, you need to realize that in Jesus Christ, we are all what? We are king and priest. Royal priesthood, according to Peter. King means we have power and authority. Priest means we are priests to God, priests to one another, and priests to the world. Now, I want to encourage parents. Fathers, they are here. Especially fathers. You are the priest of the household. God wants you to pronounce this blessing, the blessing on your children. And do it every day so that you can see with your own eyes they grow up with a blessing on them. When the priest does a blessing, they usually, traditionally, the priest does it after the morning sacrifice. And when they does it, they have to raise their hand. The reason why I put rubber band on my hand because I could not put my finger together. So you don't have to do it. So what do they do? When the priest get a congregation after the sacrifice, the priest will raise the hand. And the hand, the two fingers come together here, the two fingers come together. So it becomes like that. Now, I think some of you cannot do that because you're not blessed, blessed enough. So, my solution, get two rubber bands. So, the priest will lift up the hand and he will form this sign. This sign is like a what? A window. And what is this sign? This is the Hebrew sign for Shaddai, El Shaddai. That's why when the priest proclaims it, he speaks with his hand this way over the people and say, "The Lord bless you and keep you." It's not the priest that is going to do it. Who is going to do it? The El Shaddai, the Almighty God is going to do it. The Lord be gracious to you and shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. You know, the Lord lift you up. So he put his hand and he speak over the people that God is the one that is going to do it. Luke 24, as I close. Remember when Jesus was taken up in his ascension? The Bible clears us that Jesus lift up his hand and bless who? Bless his disciple, the Lord. And where is Jesus now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father as what? As our great high priest, that he is blessing his disciple. And as he was taken up, his disciple could see his hand, those that has been nailed. He paid the price so that the blessing can be fulfilled, can come into who? Into your life. This morning, be kept, be blessed, be illuminated, be graced, be lifted, and be given the promise of the blessing. Blessing for your household, blessing for your journey, blessing for your children, blessing for your children's children. Can I have the worship team to come? The blessing pronounced thousands of years ago by the priest on God's people is still relevant, reliable, and it can be repeated again and again over you and your household. We're going to sing the song, The Blessing. Why don't we stand up? The blessing in you, the blessing through you, the blessing for you. This is how Moses, you had to tell Aaron to bless my people. You are God's people. This is how you should bless them. The Lord, he originated this blessing. And parents, when you speak to your children, you are only the instrument to pronounce. God is the one that will perform. But if you don't pronounce, he cannot what? He cannot perform. But if you pronounce with great faith and really believing, you see the power of God's blessing over your children. God wants your children and your children's children. Shikarabansi Didibe.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his towards you and give you peace.
Let's sing again. The Lord bless you.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and
You
amen.
And keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face shine upon you
amen.
And be gracious to you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you
amen.
And give you peace.
Amen.
Father, we stand upon your promise, which is yes and yes, O God. Lord, we stand knowing that you are the performer of the promise, that you'll bring it to pass and you will bring it well, oh God. We stand, God, as a people that obeys you, oh God, and we want, God, to see your blessing over each individual, over the family, over the children, and over the children, oh God. For Lord, we stand upon your promise that has no expiry date, oh God. God bless. Quicken your people with your power to be on top and not beneath, to be head and not tail. I pray, Lord, today let each individual see themselves who they are to the complete and the finished work of Jesus Christ, that the old has passed and the new has come. Lord, keep your people from the danger that is ahead. Keep your people from the harm. Keep your people with their job, O God. Keep your people, God, strong in you. And I pray, God, let your people see the smile of your face, your approval, your acceptance, and your affirmation over them. We silence every voice that is not of yours, O God. The voice of infidelity, the voice of condemnation, Lord. We silence all those voices, and we hear the voice of the Father that say, "You are my beloved child, who I am well pleased." Lord, grace your people with the grace so that they are able to say, "I am now. I am what I am. I am now by the grace of God." And Lord, lift your people up so that wherever they go, their countenance is lifted up. They bring the smile of God that is in their heart to smile to others, to smile over every testing, every difficulty, because God, from the smile they have, oh God, they are saying, "I know I'm an overcomer. I know my God will help me." And Lord, I pray, let your peace, in Jesus' name, let the eternal, the war within, stop and the peace of God floods every mind and heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.